My name is Rabbi David Pardo, and this is Mishnah Taharot. Today we conclude Chapter 1 of Mishnah Taharot with the 9th Mishnah. Kichros HaKodesh Shepetoch Kumotei Mayim Mukdashim. So we have before us what's actually a pretty confusing case. There is a debate amongst the authorities as to the reality of the Metzias of the case. We're going to go with the primary position of the Partnura, which is that we have Kodesh Lohs. Kodesh Lohs, remember, Chulin can go down to a level, a Tumah level of 2, Truma can go down to a Tumah level of 3, and Kodesh Lohs can go down to a Tumah level of 4. This is going to be significant. And these particular Lohs have cavities in them, and the cavities are filled with water, which are also Kadosh. So the water can also go down to a level 4. Nitmet achat mehen besheretz. Kulan Tameot. So if one of them becomes Tame with a Sheretz. Now, before I explain this scenario, we're going to have to actually jump to a piece of knowledge we're only going to acquire late in the second chapter of our Mishnah Taharut, and that is the tricky nature of water and how it affects solids. So water, by Gzeira d'Rabbanan, always jumps up to level 1 tumah, meaning if you have chulin that is impure in the second degree and it touches chulin liquid, so that chulin liquid is not level 3, it's not third degree, it's not a shlishi, it's actually a rishon. You have truma that's a third degree and it touches kodesh liquid, that kodesh becomes a rishon. So that's significant. That's one thing to know. The other thing to know is if the food item in discussion has, quote-unquote, maxed out its ability to be matam in something, meaning it's a third-degree truma item. Now, a third-degree truma item would touch another truma item. It wouldn't do anything because truma can't go lower than 3. If that's the case, then even though water would jump up to a rishon, it doesn't affect the water because it couldn't affect the solid. Meaning, any solid that couldn't render another solid impure won't render a liquid impure, even if the math all works out. Now we jump back to our case. So we have loaves, a number of loaves in succession. Each loaf has, and they're all kadosh, and they all have cavities with water in them. So a sheretz, level 0, so to speak, tuma touches the first loaf, so that loaf is a rishon. The water in the loaf is a rishon. It touches another loaf. That loaf becomes a sheni, and the water in it becomes a rishon. That loaf touches the third loaf. That loaf becomes a shlishi, but the water becomes a rishon, and then the loaf snaps to a sheni. The next time it touches another loaf, we are already falling into a pattern, an infinite recursion. Therefore, kulan tmeot, all of them, once the sheretz has touched the first one, all of them will become tame. But truma, mitameshnaim uposal echa, truma, you get the infinite recursion gets cut off. Why? The sheretz touches the first loaf, the loaf becomes a rishon, the water in the loaf becomes a rishon. It touches the second loaf. This loaf becomes a sheni, and the water becomes a rishon. But the loaf remains a sheni. Touches the third loaf. That third loaf, forget the water for a second, couldn't make another loaf tame. It's done. It's a shlishi, so it itself is pasul, but it no longer has the capacity to be matame other kinds of truma. Therefore, the truma water in its cavities will not become tame, because it doesn't have enough power to make other solids tame. Therefore, mitameshnayim posel echad, im yesh banehem mashke tofeach. So let's say there's some sort of mist or dripping water. So now the water is not in a cavity limited to one loaf, but it's rather shared in some kind of mist. Af betruma, even truma, which is already a more kal case, hakol tame. So then everything becomes tame. The recursion, again, is unlimited. Now give yourself a pat on the back. You just finished the first chapter of Taharot. We are beginning the second chapter. The first mission, the second chapter, is really a reapplication of so many things we learned in the first chapter. So let's just go through it. So the scenario is that a woman is pickling vegetables in a pot. There's brine in the pot, a liquid, and she's pickling them. And the fact that she's a woman is actually irrelevant. It's just, I guess, it just fits the scenario, but it has something to do with the fact that she's a nida. We're going to be talking about yadayim, stam yadayim, or shniot, that hands, if we don't know for a fact that they are pure, then we assume that they are shniot. Haisha shayta kovashet yarak bekadera v'naga be'aleh chutz kadera b'makom naguv. So this leaf is sticking out of the a stalk or something is sticking out of the pot, meaning it hasn't been submerged in the brine. It hasn't been huchshar latuma. There's no, it's never become wet. So even though the fact that her hands are shniot, it's irrelevant, because generally speaking, to the vegetable which has not been huchshar. Afal pi sheish bo kabeitza hu tameh v'akol tahor. The vegetable is, the leaf rather, is now huchshar l'tuma. It had gotten wet, even though, okay, but right now it's dry. So what's the scenario? She touches the leaf. Even if it has, even if this vegetable has a kabeitza in it, it is tameh, and everything else is tahor. It becomes a shlishi, this is truma, it becomes a shlishi, because her hands are shniot, but being that it's a shlishi truma cannot impart tuma to another piece of truma, so even though the water should jump up to a rishon, it doesn't because of the principle that we learned in the previous Mishnah. So therefore, it itself becomes tuma, but it can't impart tuma to anything else, even though it's the correct sign, the kabeitza, therefore, v'hakol tahor. Naga b'mkom hamashke. So let's say she touched a place, a leaf, a stalk, that is wet. So this is a lot different because now she's not just imparting tuma to something dry, she's imparting tuma to something wet, and the wet thing becomes a rishon. So if this leaf or whatever she touched has a kibetza in it, then everything is tama, right? Because she touched the water is shani. Now the vegetable is a shani, not a shlishi, like in the previous scenario, but a sheni. And a sheni can impart tuma so long as it has the minimum size kabeitza. So, imish bo kabeitza, hakol tameh. Ein bo kabeitza, hu tameh, vakol tahor. And if it's not the minimum size, it is incapable of transmitting the tuma. It remains tameh, but it does not transmit. Chazar lekadera, hakol tameh. Let's say it was subsequently submerged in the pot, so then the water that she touched, well, not the water, the liquid, the brine, rejoins the rest of the brine in the pot. New rule, liquid does not have a minimum shear. So even though there's not so much liquid on the surface of the leaf, once it rejoins everything else, so then everything becomes tame, the water is, the brine is a rishon, makes the vegetables, and even the kli itself is tame. That is a din that we learn in Zvachim, in Zavim. Haita maga meis venaga. So let's say she was touched by sheretz or something dead, dead person. So now we're not dealing with a scenario where her hands are shniot, but rather her whole body is a rishon. Bein b'mkom hamashke, bein b'mkom hanaguf. Whether she touches something dry or something wet, imesh, it doesn't matter because she's a rishon. So she touches something, it becomes a sheni automatically. Our only question is, how big is it? Imesh bo kabeitza, if it has a kabeitza and therefore is big enough to transmit tuma, hakol tameh. Everything is tameh, everything in the pot itself as well. Ein bo kabeitza, hu tameh, hakol tahor. If it doesn't have a kabeitza in it, so then it itself is tameh, but as we know, it is incapable of transmitting tuma and it is tahor. Haita tfulat yom. Let's say, yeah, so I lied to you. There are actually, this part is a lot of new things. So Hayta Tfulat Yom in Eretz Tekedira. So she is a Tfulat Yom. She went to the mikvah and she's just waiting for the day to pass for her to become Tahor, which in interim she is a Sheni. She is a Sheni. So even though the case is that her hands are already Shneim, different. Different laws apply to her. So she's pouring out the contents of the pots. Her hands are unclean, so she has two kinds of tumas. She has tumas of Yadayim and also of Tefulat Yom. And now she sees that there's liquid on her hand, and she doesn't know where the liquid's from. Safek mina kedera nidzu. The safek, maybe it splashed off the kedera, in which event she didn't touch any liquid that was touching a vegetable, and everything is tahor. Safek shehakelach naga b'yadeya. Safek, maybe she actually got her hands in there while it was relevant, and she was matame everything. So how do we resolve the safek? Hayarak pasul v'kadera tehora. So the vegetables are pasul, but the kadera is tahor. So what do we do first off with the safek yadayim? Safek yadayim is tahor, because Yadayim, remember, are not actually inherently Tameh. It's just a case where we don't know if they're Tameh or not. So now when we introduce a Safek, we're not sure if the Yadayim touched something, and we're not sure if the Yadayim were Tameh to begin with, so that we can dismiss. The problem is the Tful Yom. The Tful Yom is a good Safek. It's a Safek Deraisa, so the Yarek is possible. As far as the Kedera goes, though, a Tful Yom does not render liquids a Rishon. Unlike everything else, Mishnah Parah tells us explicitly that everything will upgrade a liquid to a Rishon, except for a Tful Yom. So since the Tful Yom, or the Tfulat Yom in this case, cannot render the liquid a Rishon, then there's nothing to render the pot Tameh or Pasul. Okay, catch you guys later.